Hi, this is Kalyan Karmakar, and welcome to this live broadcast on Finally Chalked TV. It's not the happiest of days, I'm afraid. There's been a terrible cyclone in my home state, West Bengal, and our neighboring state, Orisha, and it's been really painful waking up to seeing the devastating images which are there, and of course, last evening as well as hearing them. We've got family there, and there's so many countless people and outside of the cities where the devastation has been even stronger. And one can only hope and pray for the very best. I would urge each of you and all of us, we'll try to reach out to people there and try to help people. I would urge the governments, the central, the state, all the authorities to get together and help the people of Orisha and Bengal at this time. We need to come together. I would request the media as well to put the focus on that. All of us on social media are trying. It's not the happiest of days, but we will overcome, as the cliche says. I know it sounds like a cliche, but it will. And it's tough, but let's really do all our bit. Even if we can make a difference in the life of one person over there, that's a job well started. Well, today's broadcast is all about the human spirit. And you know, there have been a couple of projects which I've been planning for a few months, and one for a year. And one of which I started, and you've been seeing examples of that, is called Foodocracy India. And over there, the idea was to bring up stories of the people behind food across India, street food places, old restaurants, cafes, modern places, and tell their stories, because there are many inspiring stories over there. And the idea was to share that with you, and it was more about stories than lists and anything like that. And again, you know, talking of Odisha, Bengal, you know, there are a lot of people over there who have done some really wonderful work in the area of food, and we just hope and pray that they can all come back well. So Foodocracy India is one pet project which I started at the start of this lockdown, and I've been sharing stories through podcasts and on my blog. Hopefully you've caught that. That was a plan which I had in mind for almost a year. There was another plan which I was sitting on for about 4 or 5 months, when last November a colleague of mine, a former colleague, Ira, met me. And she's in the Even space now. And we were thinking of various things to do to help women in the F&B space, the women entrepreneurs. And we are working on many of those plans, but I thought that at least let me start one of them, which is to bring out the stories of some of the really amazing women who are there in the F&B space. We hear of many today who are home chefs, who are bakers, and so on. But there are also people who have set up restaurants, who work in hotels, and they work in like top positions. And some of their stories are not as well known as it should be. Some are. But I don't think there's enough telling of that, because the more we tell these stories, the more there is inspiration for all of us, not just for women, not just for young girls who want to enter this segment, but I think for all of us, starting with us men. I think we have a lot to learn from women in addition, and that much more in F&B, which leads to okay, so I think the connection's been playing hide and seek with us, but bear on with me. Today we've got a very interesting person to join us, and some of you might know of her, or of her place, especially if you're from Mumbai, and even otherwise, because even people across the world are really fond of what she's done. And if you're not, then it's time to know her story. She's someone who's understated and private to a fault, but has done some really wonderful work. I'm trying to see if she's there with that live request. Otherwise, I might just have to quickly hop off here while you guys are there and tell her to send me the request. And this lady is someone who's not really too much into social media, and she runs her social media handles herself with a bit of help from her daughter, who's 10 years old. So you can imagine that some of it might not be as smooth as, you know, if a proper agency was doing it. So just hang on. I'm going to quickly. Okay, I'm back. I quickly got off the live and gave her a call, because like I said, this lady is not so much into social media, and her social media agent or assistant or intern is her daughter, who's 10 years old, and therefore we might have some initial bumps, and I'm expecting that through this series, because we are doing everything by ourselves, self-dependency, Atmanirbhan, whatever you want to call it. And therefore, I don't have an agency. A lot of people whom I'm going to speak to in the series won't either. So we can just sort of, cross our fingers and hope she joins in. But I've told her, Pinky, if you're listening of Soam, then just disconnect, join in again, and send me a request to join. But till then, let me give you a bit of an introduction rather than keeping it a mystery, because you've already seen the banners and joined in, so there's no mystery over here. I'm going to speak to Pinky Chandan Dixit, who runs a restaurant called Soam. Soam is in South Mumbai, opposite a very, very famous and a fairly old temple by Mumbai standards called Babulnath, which is more than a century old and extremely revered, and it's one of the top temples in Mumbai. And just opposite that is Soam, and Soam is about 12 or 15 years old. We are going to get the exact number when she joins us. Soam, in case you're wondering where the name came from, S-O-M, Soam comes from Somnath, which is one of the names of Lord Shiva, who is the main deity of the Babulnath temple. Soam is a Gujarati restaurant, and I think it's one of the first in this modern wave of restaurants which made regional Indian food, trendy again to the modern customer. And it opened at a time when I think all of us were... In case you're wondering where I disappeared, please bear with me. That is Pinky calling me. Pinky thought that she had to do a live broadcast, but I told her that, no, Pinky, if you're listening, then disconnect, join my live and send me a request to join. I guess we should have done some rehearsals before. We did have a couple of long chats in the last 2 days, where I think we spoke a lot about life, food, the restaurant industry, our cats, everything but about how to join live. And that's probably a learning from me. I think I need to, when I'm doing something like this, focus a lot more on the logistics of it. So fingers crossed, if anyone's there can tell Pinky, otherwise she spoke with me as well. And I'm trying to tell her that just join my live, click to see it. Okay. So Pinky Chandan Dixit runs Soam restaurant, and Soam is the Gujarati restaurant. It's a vegetarian restaurant, and they do some food apart from Gujarati. They do some food from Madhya Pradesh, which is where her husband comes from, Pinky's husband. And so Pinky's Soam Babulnath joined in. Now I'm trying to see how I can get them to join the live. Okay, Soam Babulnath, Pinky, hello. It's good to see you joining in. But please send click on the thing where it says request to join live. So guys, you can see Soam Babulnath there. Please type in on my behalf and tell her, Pinky, if you're listening, just click on the request to join live. If you can't, just disconnect, join again, and there will be a thing which says request to join live. Can you click on that? Yeah, so Soam, like I said, is a Gujarati-focused restaurant. They have some food from Madhya Pradesh, or at least the Matar Paneer, which comes from her husband's side. He's from MP. They have some Maharashtrian food, because that's where we are, Mumbai. She has one Parsi dish, the Dhansag. No problem, Pinky, no stress. I have told everyone that you're someone who focuses on the restaurant, your daughter and your cats, and are not that social media savvy, and which is why we want people like you on this chat, because your stories will not come otherwise. So don't worry, everyone's here, everyone's patient, everyone's very nice, and we'll just wait, and don't worry, there's no hurry, because even if people need to go, we will be posting these videos again and seeing them. So the thing about the food in Soam is that, like I told you, it's vegetarian. So I must say that I myself didn't go there for years, though there were a lot of people who praised it to me, Vikram Doctor, who's like, you know, this genius in food. And then V Sanghvi, when I started working with him for a bit, he told me that he's a big fan of the Som food, Kuruj Dalal. Rushina Munsha Gildayal, she's one of the earliest people who tell me, go trying the food at Som. But it took me a while when I did it, and once when I did it, I sort of became a big fan. So guys, what I'm going to do is, I think this is not, yes, there it is, there. I'm so excited. Now we are waiting for Pinky Chandan Dikshit to join in. There she is. Pinky, I don't think I've ever been so happy to see you. Okay, guys, so this is Pinky Chandan Dikshit. Like I told like I told you, her social media hire her, and she's 10 years old, and her the daughter's two cats also sometimes help. But that's Pinky for you, understated to a fault, very shy. In fact, most times when I've gone to the restaurant to eat, I have not seen Pinky, but she knows who's there, what is there. It's like a well-oiled machine. Once I asked her, where are you? She said that I'm dropping my daughter for school or something like that. And she doesn't have a social media agency. So I asked her, like, you know, who's doing a social media? So she smiled and said, I am. So as in herself. And Pinky and I had spoke in preparation for this. I must say, we spoke yesterday. We spoke day before. But Pinky being the sort of social media shy person who she is, and me being the sort of non-planner who I am, we spoke about food. We spoke about, you know, our cats. We spoke about, you know, spouses, wives, the industry, what's happening, everything, but how to get on to this chat. But anyway, no worries. We are here. No worries. Pinky Chandan Dikshit, I'm so happy to have you on board, because when I thought of Foodocracy India, I thought that I want you and people like you first, because there are a lot of wonderful women who are doing great work in this sector. Some are people whom we know about, and there's many like you whom we don't know about. And I did the time. So Pinky, that's what it is about today. It's just going to be a conversation about you and me, and we are going to talk about our stories. Everyone's going to listen in. Folks, since I'm going to record this and put this up later, I will not be taking questions at this point. But if you have questions and comments, let me know. From this point onwards, because this is where it really starts, if you've joined in, from this point onwards, we are going to continue for about half an hour. So it's 4:20 now, so 4:50. So Pinky Chandan Dikshit, tell me, you started Sophia, you joined Sophia College, right, after school?
Yes, I joined Sophia
College. And what did you study there?
I studied hotel management. It was a 2-year diploma then. And then was interested in pastry and bakery. So I did my first stint at the Oberoi for about maybe 6 months or so. And then I bullied my father into sending me to LCB in London. Sure.
So you're a rich South Bombay spoiled girl, huh?
No, they put me on a budget. And I have to say, I had to really squiggle.
I'm pulling your leg. I know that your family comes from very down to earth. You know, someone made that point about Pooja Dhingra. So even she said that, you know, we worked really hard to do all of this. Sometimes impressions can be misleading. Your family runs a hotel in Mahabaleshwar, right? Your parents?
Yeah, we grew and up that's on a fun the hotel. Hotel.
So yeah, you've grown up in a hotel.
Yeah, we've grown up in a hotel, raised with parents who went to work morning, evening and night, came back home to supervise, watch us and send us back to bed when it was time for them to go back to serve dinner in the dining room downstairs. So this has been part of our life.
And then you were in hostel, right, in Panchgani?
In the later part, because it was getting a bit much to commute from Mahabaleshwar to Panchgani. Is a good 1 hour every day in those buses. So it was a good shift to go back to school and, you know, live like a sort of a normal life, not hotel and school and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it was nice.
Now, Pinky, when I was your daughter's age, as in she's 10 now, so that was the time, or maybe 1 year before or after, when I was introduced to the world of Enid Blyton. I know I'm digressing, but you know, we used to read these books like Mallory Tarr, St. Clair's, and we'd read about all the fun hostel lives would have and the tuck boxes which would come. And I think a lot of us in my generation actually wanted to study in a hostel. Was hostel life really so idyllic?
It was absolutely fab. I can't tell you, my closest friends today are from the boarding school and they're all over the world. But if you don't speak to them even for a whole year or two or maybe 10, you could still pick up the phone and say, "Hi, I'm good morning, I'm in trouble. Hi, I just wanted to say hello." And you just pick up exactly where you left off.
It must have made you very self-reliant, right? So being in a hostel, that's what they say.
It makes you self-reliant. I think to me, it made me very accepting of people because you're at that age, you're not at that stage to absorb, huh? You know, these are people with these are things that it's like living on your own as a child, which becomes a bit difficult until you settle in. So you learn to fend for yourself. You learn to be kind if you want to. You learn to be tolerant. You learn to be accepting, I think. And of course, you learn to be very self-reliant.
What a wonderful set of values you taught. You said, like, to fend for yourself, self-reliant. I mean, that's important. We don't live in a fairy tale, but also to be kind and tolerant and patient. And I'm sure that these are values you're passing on to your daughter and maybe to your cats as
Yes,
well.
Kalyan, I can remember, you know, we were a hostel, we were a dorm of about 130 with 7 bathrooms. So you know, it is you jolly well let somebody enjoy a long shower on a Sunday if they decided to, and just take your time.
And
You
I'm not
could
even going to
enjoy
make any and I'm not going to make any sexist comment about how much time women need
it.
to sort of get ready in the
No,
bathroom. This
boys
is going to be
take
all about this foodocracy for her, which has been named by my wife. It's going to be all about us men learning from you guys. Now tell me, when you went into Sophia and you did hospitality management for 2 years, that's the time when career thoughts would have come in your mind. And what was You said you went to Oberoi. Did you want to be a pastry chef then, or were you a chef, or?
I was very keen to be a pastry chef, and I very quickly realized that I was not the hands-on production person who could do, I could not sit at a desk doing paperwork, so that was a goner for me. Pastry, I did for a few months, and I realized the whole monotony of, you know, doing the same recipe every single day and the politics that goes on in the kitchen and the other stuff sort of, when you're younger, you're less resilient to it. So it sort of made me want to explore that if I was to learn something more than I've already learned, this is a good time. Because if I stuck around here, I'd be picking up those same 20 recipes that I learned at the kitchens or in college, and wouldn't have the at that time there was no internet also, so there wasn't like anybody I could learn from except to go to like a system or a college or a culinary school, and you know, being a very protected person myself, parents, I've just come back from boarding, lived with mummy and daddy for 4 years, and I'm thinking I need to sort of, you know, break out of this and get to be by myself in the world. And at that point, I was dating my boyfriend, who's now my husband, and my father was not at all keen on me continuing this relationship. So bang on, I took the chance and I said, "Daddy, let me go off. I may change my mind." So
But has
that's
daddy
how I
changed his mind?
slowly did.
Has daddy
Daddy,
changed his mind? How many years of
daddy
your
changed.
marriage has it been?
20 this year, and it took him a long time. So now they are best friends, and I wonder what they were fighting about. So.
I was telling people while I was waiting for you to join, the matar puri and the dahi wala aloo on the soam menu is from your sasural,
It's from there. It's their contribution. Yes.
right? Yes. So you went to Cordon Bleu in which city?
As in
La
London.
Cordon, London.
Yeah.
And so you trained on pastry over there as well?
I did a
Specialized in
6 month.
pastry?
I did a 6 month diploma in the pastry section, and they also had class only 3 times a week then. So I
Yeah.
had 2 or 3 days free to myself, except for a Sunday, because London, being very proper, Sunday was more or less off. And I sort of initiated with a friend of mine to introduce me to the pastry chef at the Langham Hilton, and she got me an internship. So the 3 days of the week that I was free, I would get up in the morning at 6 o'clock and get to work at the Hilton, which was another experience altogether, because there
that's
was no
great.
Exposure in a professional environment except for the Oberoi that I had, which was a culture I was used to. And that was a completely different culture, with everything being pre-plated. You know, the first time my introduction to, you know, them doing a sit-down banquet and doing 300 plates of dessert loaded and ready to go out at one shot, I'd never seen anything like it.
I can relate to what you're saying, because, you know, my experience of banquets as a diner, especially more in my market research days, because at the end of conferences, we'd sit banquets, and I've then had more banquets here as a food person in India. I feel that abroad, people are better equipped to handle banquets. Like when you have these long tables, the food comes properly plated, hot, or the right temperature. India's still learning. I think, but there's been a lot of progress in the last couple of years. Now, tell me, why pastry? Is that a bit of a cliche? Because I feel that most women, even now in hotels or chefs, tend to gravitate towards the pastry section. Is that considered to be a safe option? It's almost like an equivalent of, at least when we are growing up, also if a woman has to work, she has to be a teacher. You know, I'm intentionally bringing out these sort of stereotypes out at the risk of being trolled. But is that a cliche?
For me personally, I worked in a kitchen during my school, my college training. You know, we have this summer training sort of thing. And as the ambassador, they gave us a whole 2 months in the kitchen, which was part of my internship there. And as a person, I realized the hot kitchen wasn't where my heart was. Okay.
So it's an individual decision.
I feel for pastry, what really excited me towards it was that there was a product that you finish from the beginning to the end. There was a fine nuance. There was this everything, you know, all your senses got involved with the flavor, the fragrance, the and also what I like about baking is that for me, it's not only therapeutic, it's also very regimented. There are no mistakes there if you follow everything correctly. So it was foolproof, which I like. I mean, that's my nature.
Again, talking of stereotypes, while we were waiting to join you, I was saying that one thing which we learn from women is that they're far more regimented to use their work. Like if something has to be done, they will do it to the T and properly. And I mean, that's the same between my wife and me. Like when she cooks, like she will, and you know, the perfectionist that she is, she will bhuno the masala, form everything and this, that. While I think a lot of us guys and you know, we'll go to the kitchen, throw things around. Normally they land up well. But
Make
I think women are far more.
Make a
no, I clean up. I clean up. In fact, in my videos, I tell people to clean up. But yes, I think even in my market research career, I've always found my women colleagues to be far more focused, while men were like, okay. So I preferred having male bosses, because women bosses are a lot stricter.
Very exacting. So,
yes. Now tell me, you came back to India. You came back home once the course was over. What was the plan then?
Well,
when you came back?
The plan then was to see this property that we were at. Soam belonged to my parents from like about 3 decades then. I was very keen to explore running a pastry shop here. And my father said to me, I'm not too keen on what you're doing just now. I don't want to really make an investment. I'd rather have you you know, cut your teeth a bit and see how you feel about it. And so saying, I decided to help him restructure the hotel in Mahabaleshwar. So at that point, we were upgrading our skills in, you know, setting up a conference venue, setting up like upgrading the room facilities. And I worked with him for about a year or so. And then, you know,
this is the Fountain Hotel, right? Your hotel?
This is the Fountain Hotel in Mahabaleshwar. Yeah. So while I was doing that for about a year, I realized, you know, it was getting too much. I was doing work at home. I was doing home at work. And it was, you know, and you're younger, you don't have the ability to draw lines. And then at that point, somebody said to me, there's a job, you know, at this Raheja Group of Hotels. Will you consider a job in marketing and sales? So I said, well, okay, let me go meet them. And I did that for about 3 years. So they had these three properties called the Resort, the Retreat and the Carlton in Kodaikanal. And I marketed those for about 3 years and met the most wonderful bunch of ladies. Again, very women-centric office, full-on hen scoop and very, very tight-knit lot of people. And then at the end of those 3 years, I realized that I somehow gravitated towards meeting Tarla Dalal, and she was looking for a recipe research person. And for me, that was something that was very exciting because I liked the sort of work she did, and I really, really enjoyed her company as a
So
person.
you worked with Tarla Dalal? You worked with the late Tarla Dalal?
I
My
worked with her
God,
for 7 years.
she's such a legend, and
So,
I doubt if there's anyone, in this broadcast life today who even has ever met her. But she's such a legend, and she unfortunately passed away. I want to digress and take the attention a bit away from you, Pinky. But maybe are there two or three lessons which I think all of us can learn from Tarla Dalal's work ethic, because we don't know anything about her as a person. So, and you've had this wonderful opportunity.
my biggest take back from her is try everything. There's nothing, there's no rule that cannot be broken. There's no combination that cannot be tried. You may succeed, you may fail, but you will have tried. And it's always to push the boundary. I mean, she was one who would not hesitate to twist things around, even at the risk of it sounding completely madcap, and it would work. You know, I mean,
Yeah.
I
So she
completely.
it sounds like she was ahead of her time then, because that's what
She was.
people do now, reinterpreting, reimagining what earlier used to be called fusion. But I think she was ahead of her time.
No, I think she, encouraged by her son, because she always would slip back a little, and then her son, who used to be my boss then immediately,
What's his name? Sanjay Dalal.
Sanjay Dalal, and he used to always tell her, "Ma, you've got to do this. Ma, we've got to do this website. We've got to do this." In those days, I mean, it was maybe 2009, no, 1999, 2001. We were doing a website. We had a dedicated helpline. We were doing literally three cookbooks every. Like six cookbooks a year, I think we were doing, and they were
Wow.
all research tested and out. So it was a good experience, and she never let us say it was wrong. You know, it was just, if it was wrong, it was tried again. There was no mistakes. There were just hiccups.
So would you say that, I mean, in the years of my corporate career, there have been certain bosses who have left an influence on me, on my management style, my style with my team. Would you attribute some of that to Tarla? Because now that I'm hearing what you say about her and what I know of you.
Completely. I mean, she was one who would look at the smallest things and would pick up chote chote cheeze, which we would have never bothered to realize that that's what contributed to the dish failing or not working, or that would make that little change that would be tremendous and never noticed. You know,
You
like
guys
stuff
look a
like,
bit,
sorry.
you guys look a bit similar also. You and Talarala.
I don't know about that.
Maybe I'm not,
But
just
she
vaguely. Maybe it's some of her goodnesses. Now tell me, how did Soam happen? Was Soam after Talarala?
So actually, 7 years into Tarla Dalal, I'd been sort of, you've been there, done that, and my husband had started his business. We were doing relatively well, and he said to me, "Pinky, take it easy, take a break." So I decided to put in my papers, and I said thank you to her, and I said, "Mama, I'll be here, but not would not like to sort of continue regular hours." And true to my luck, ants in my pants, my brother comes up to me and says, "Pinky, why are you wasting your time at home? Let's get going." And again, my pastry shop came out. So he's looking at me, and he said, "No, he's the bunya and the visionary in our equation, because we started Soam together, and I'm
What's his
always
name?
bringing." His name is Gaurav Chandan, and he's about 10 years younger than me, but treats me like I'm 10 years younger than him. So he said to me, "Ye kuch nahi chalne wala, tumhara pinky pastry wastry kuch nahi chalne wala. I want you to do a market survey. I want you to see what's going to work in our area, what's going to give us the least chance of failure, and what we're going to be excellent at doing." So the other option we had was what we'd grown up eating, which was Gujarati food, Marwadi food. And I was telling Gaurav, I said, you know, dude, I got married against my parents' wishes, so I didn't see them for a few, maybe a year or so. And more than that, I was too proud to say I was missing my ghar ka khana. And every time I stepped out, it would be to eat Gujarati food, it would be at Thakkar Bhojanalay, which would be a full thali. There was very little semblance of what you actually ate at home in a chota chota sort of, you know,
That's more
broken
festival
down
food.
version, like a broken down version of a thali. And if you wanted to do stuff like dal dokli and you wanted to do stuff like handbona, it's always good to cook in a quantity. Now, if I'm alone cooking for myself, there's no way I want to make the effort. And when I realized I was talking to people and we saw that, you know, there are lots of people like me who were married outside their community and missed their home sort of cooking. Like, I'm sure you feel like when I see your blogs, I see you missing all your Bengali food and your home cooking, and you want to come back to it, whether it is to learn or to eat. I think Soam sort of picked that up in the early stages and broke that down into a component into many chota chota courses in the thali. And with that, we had this thing about what goes with what, matlab, what's going to complement this dish. So we decided to do a pre-plated menu, which was unusual for that time, but we didn't want to have this thing about, oh, you can try this with that also and that also, and it may not work for you know. So we'd like you to encourage you to eat as we've decided we'd like this to go, but you have the option of choosing to also pick another combination. And well, as we started, we sort of developed this trajectory where, you know, the first few months takes a lot of time in terms of, you know, putting your logistics in order. Where my family, my father pitched in and very sweetly said, "You worry about the front end, I'll take care of the back end of the kitchen because I've been doing it for years." So he put my ducks in a row where he said, "We will grind the atta, we will grind the besan, we will source this," and very sweetly put it all together. Daddy let me worry about aage ka, you know, to do the general PR, to absorb guest requirements, to see where we were going wrong, if it had to be changed, if we had to sort of you know, modify something because it wasn't the way the guest expected it. If we expected to serve something that we thought the guest would like, and it didn't necessarily happen that way every single time. So that's when I started talking to people, and I met along the way Rushina, who I
She's
call
been such
my
a strong advocate of your work.
she's
She's the one
my
who
fairy
first
god.
told me you have to go there.
So she
Yes, she's
actually,
been a
I
big
met her while
champion.
she was doing a piece for Savvy then, and she said, "I want to do one kachchi food piece." And I'm like, "I don't have kachchi food, Rushina." So she said, "Can you cook it and we'll shoot it?" So I said, "Yeah, I mean, I can cook it for you. We'll shoot it. I've got nothing to do because the restaurant is not yet fully picked up." And that's how we met, Rushina and me. And
Which year? Sorry, I'm sorry. I don't want to interject too much, but which year did Soam start?
we started in 2005.
So that's what, 15 years coming up. Right?
15 years this year.
And so
So Rushina and me
Rushina as
said,
in Rushina Munshaw Gildial. So
"Yes,
2015,
yes.
16 is when you guys met
Five,
and discussed.
five,
2005
five.
is 2000. So right from the beginning, she's been, and
Right
you
from
didn't know
beginning.
her before that. It's not that Rushina was a
Yeah.
friend of his. She just came out of the way and tried to help you.
She got introduced to me with Antoine, who I used to know. Antoine said,
Antoine Lewis,
"Rushina
yeah.
is doing this piece. Will you meet her?" And I met Rushina. And then we connected at some level. We finished the shoot. And then a couple of days later, I sent her some menus that I was working on. And she said to me, "Try this, work on that." And then I was telling her, "This is not helping me. That's not working out. The kitchen is not able to produce." So she said to me, "Let's sit and work out something for you." And very sweetly, she put together with me my first Faral ka menu, which was Shravan, because she said, "Well, they are fasting. We'd opened in April, and July was the first Shravan." And she said, "Let's give it a shot because, you know, people are going to fast. People
Is
are going to
that
fast."
potato a part of the Faral menu, the Farali potato?
Yes,
That
that's
white
part of the
potato,
Faral. Yeah.
which is Kainaz's absolute favorite. What I really like about this is that this story is sometimes we say that women are the worst friend, enemies of each other, but here you had another woman, of course introduced to you by a guy, Antoine. So we also this thing, but
Don't.
how she pushed you and you know, when as if it was her own, It's not that she had anything to
Absolutely.
own out of it, get out of it. That's really lovely.
I met her mother a few weeks later, and she was so sweet, Kalyan. Her
She's
daughter
a
was
most
getting
sweet lady.
married. Rushina's younger lady, younger sister was getting married a few
It's her
months
birthday
back.
yesterday. It was her birthday yesterday, Himanshi.
Yes.
I've met her in Melbourne.
40th birthday.
Himanshi's birthday yesterday. I met her in Melbourne.
So auntie called me up and she said, "Will you do this catering for the mehndi function?" And I looked at her and I said, "Auntie, I've never done catering before." So she said, "So what? Do it. Let's see if it goes well." And that was how I put my foot out in catering. So thanks to Hina auntie and Rushina, we actually got I got confidence to sort of put our feet out there.
So Rushina's mom, Hina auntie, I mean, they're Gujaratis as well. She herself is such a brave lady. I mean, husband passed away and she ran the travel agency, brought up her kids. And actually, the first time I had Soam Food was also catering when Rushina's book launch happened,
Yes.
Pinchful of this and that, and on her mom's terrace. Now, I must tell you at this point, Pinky, there are a lot of people who are putting in comments saying that they love the food at Soam. And it's not really a question of this versus that. But me not being a Gujarati and me being a nuclear family sort of person, even thali joints is something which I find a bit uncomfortable because so much comes. I guess it's more like a festive eating. But when I go to Soam, and I know the Swati snacks is also in the same genre. Probably Swati snacks is older than Soam. Is Swati
Much
snacks,
older,
yeah,
much
because
older.
it's an institution and you know, each of you have your fans and that's wonderful. So when I went to Swati Snacks and later to Soam and I was getting food and the combinations were like we Bengalis always say that, you know, March, fish will never be with anything but rice. Or you know, if it's kasha mangsho, it'll be luchi, but if it's jhol, the curry, it has to be rice. And, you know, I'm talking
Exactly.
non-veg because I've spoken a lot of veg for a lot of time in it. But you know, I like that. When I go to a home chef, I like it when someone takes control. So I like it when you serve me you know, the satpadi roti with the gattay ka sabzi, though that's Rajasthani. I like it when you make the combination for me. Or I like it when you make the combination of the undio puri, but you're also giving this, you know, the kachumbar. I would never have thought of it. I know your Parsi vegetarian combination is spot on because you also put the kebab and all of that. But tell me, Pinky, wasn't it a bit scary to go against what's the norm? Because the Gujarati thali joints of Mumbai is such a legend. So to get into that, okay, one Swati Snacks made an establishment and a legend of themselves, but to do that in 2005, when you know it was all about Indigo under the bridge or over the oven, Indigo came in, then Saltwater Cafe, this that was a time of international cuisine, Shatranj, Napoli. So to come in with an Indian regional food, Vo Bhi Gujarati, which Mumbai has so many legendary places, and you also have a Crystal down the road. Which is, of course, Punjabi. It must have taken a lot of guts, right? What gave you the courage? Did you think about
I
all this?
honestly did no
Or did you
it
just, you just did it?
honestly it did come to me. I'll tell you, the first few weeks we opened, first I had people who looked at the walked in through the door and didn't know what Soam meant. So for them it was
What does Soam mean?
swam.
Manisha was asking. What does Soam mean?
Soam is actually nectar of the gods, which is Soam Ras. And also for Somvar, because we're at Babulnath and that's the day of the deity. So
I thought
Som
Somnath
actually
also,
was
you told me. I think once you told me,
Somnath,
yeah.
Somras, Somrat,
So all
Somras,
Soams.
and Som, all Som.
Super.
And we would be perceived as like a fancy, you know, when people open the door, they would say, "Okay, nothing Gujarati about your restaurant, no, nothing Indian about it." And we kept that categorically. Very neutral contemporary decor, because we wanted it to be like, actually my father would have told me the first day, he said, "If it doesn't work, then we'll just close it down and open your pastry." Okay, so that was my backup plan. So we kept it neutral. And the other thing that I felt, it was, if I was to go to a restaurant with my parents and it was to be this very Indian looking thing, I'd be sort of embarrassed, you know, like a teenager or a young person. And I'm thinking to myself, what would it take to get three generations on a table together to enjoy a meal and not have anybody do make a big fuss of it? Would be a nice environment, good food for the elderly people to enjoy, some amount of novelty for the younger generation to get into. And I must say, we had a healthy lot of people who would walk in and say, "Thali nahi hai, and they would walk out, and then my waiters would come up to me and tell me, "Madam, चालू करना मत है ना, एक थाली एक ही थी, keep everything, whatever you want, but do
Like
one thali."
Panchapuri wala has a thali and then the puris, yeah.
So I said to them, I said, "You know, I don't want to really do it, but if you insist, give me like 6 months. If by then you've not made a go of it, we'll consider it." And we didn't need to wait for 6 months. We were okay in about 2.5.
That's
So I
fantastic
think we
because
had.
I'm saying that's fantastic because, you know, I went to Soam maybe first in 2017 or something, so only 10, 12 years after you opened. And the market researcher in me is now saying that if that was your client brief, all of that actually came through. Because when I go to Soam, for me, it's like a modern restaurant where I can, you know, go in with my wife. I can go in with, you know, friends from abroad. At the same time, I can go with my mother, my mother-in-law, my wife's mama, who are all very simple people with simple values. So they neither feel overwhelmed, you know, if you go to a very funky place, nor do they feel like, you know, very old fashioned though. So they also feel there's something nice, something interesting to it. And when I see the crowds, I see young people, I see kids, I see elderly people, I see a lot of international people. Like I said, I don't always see you at the restaurant, but I see your staff taking care of the international people, even if they come alone. So no one feels lost. So tell me, you know, how's it been? And one has to bring in the elephant in the room, which is that is being a woman and, you know, an industry which is so male dominated, your kitchen staff, all of them are men, you know, the officials you work with are men, you know, your suppliers, this, that. Have there been any difficulties? How did you overcome them?
There's always a fair share of difficulties, especially in the earlier days. Like today, I feel safe, comfortable, and content with my spot in life. Not to say that it doesn't bother me once in a while, but in the initial days, it used to really, really get my goat because they would say, you know, I was sitting and negotiating with the vegetable guy for his contract, and he'd say, "Madam, aap rehne do na, main aapka bhai se baat kar lega." And I'm like, come again. You know, if I was to tell somebody on my team only, "Baba, go wash your hands and come, where's your glove?" the response I would see that the boys would get would be more quicker, more frightening. And I would still be taken a little lightly. I think over time, as they realize that, you know, she means business and she'll get it done. But now I think because I have that comfort level, it comes much easier. I guess with a new team, you're also sort of worried about how much you can push and where you'll be taken. And also, when you're sometimes, you know, the only lady on board, you sort of wonder, like, you know, should I just take it easy? Let's not jump at everybody.
Okay, so we got the bit about, like, men not taking women that seriously. And I guess we are guilty of that sometimes. But what are the strengths which you brought in, you feel as being a woman in terms of the way you think about things? We discussed some of that in the Kitchen Tales panel, I remember.
I feel, you know, I think what we women as a general, not only me, bring to the table is a hell of a lot of commitment. We bring a certain amount of balance because we are wired to a certain, like an ESP. You know, we pick up things before they happen or can gauge. Like, I don't know, we mentioned this on Kitchen Tales last year also that, you know, somehow my husband and me and my father, we all run businesses. And, you know, sometimes if there is something wrong with the food, it would be just a question of khana theek nahi bana hai. And then 3 din agar wo same khana theek nahi bana hai, to why is the guy goofing up? There's got to be an underlying problem, which is when you call up somebody and as a woman, I'd say, "Are you feeling well? Because you're not looking good to me." And he'd say, "Yeah, I got acidity." So obviously the guy can't taste, his taste buds are not correct. He's going to goof up the same dish every single time because he's not able to taste it himself. You know, so I think in that respect, we're a little more perceptive and we pick up things a little more faster. And maybe even the staff responds quicker to say, "It's okay to tell her that I'm not feeling well." Like maybe with a male boss, he'd be saying, "Main kuch nahi, theek hai, kal theek karega." So maybe that's another thing. But
Yeah,
that's one of
this was, yeah, I remember, yes, talking about that then. And this is always a bit of a, I just realized that I've typed Babulnath wrong in the descriptor, but that's, yeah. So what I've, I know that when I do the series, there'll always be this slightly need to tread carefully because of the gender balances and all of that. But I do feel, and sometimes as a guy, I can step aside and say that because I've seen the perspective. The fact of the matter is that there is a certain, innate sensitivity and emotion which women bring in. And rather than trying to deny that, in fact, I was having a chat with Ranveer Brar the other day on Yummy Idea, and we were talking about home chefs, and he said the same thing. He said that, not women in that case, but he said that why should home chefs be like restaurants? Why should they replicate the model? We should look at what home chefs are good for. Like, for example, they will do three dishes very well. They will do 10 people orders. So why will they try to make them try to be like a som, a Gujarati home chefs? So similarly, why should a woman try to be like a man? Is I don't know if it's politically correct, but I think it makes a lot of sense. Now,
No, I think it's
yeah.
not a man's fault, you know, Kalyan. I'd like to say that, you know, things are changing, things are far nicer, and it's the fault of this silly patriarchy that we've lived with for so many generations. Like I see today, my father wanting to change the ways that he functions, or you know, the way that he treats me and my brother, and it's so deeply ingrained. You have to sometimes remind him, Papa, it's not working today, you know. It may have then, and it's not your fault as a man. It's just how you've been raised. We've just as women picked up another thing, and we've to now bring it to the fore. So it's like sort of a meeting of generations, if you might tell.
Yeah, no, that's true. But the point I'm also making is that there's a certain strength which women bring to the table because of the way they are wired, and I think that one should use that to the maximum. Like you, this perceptiveness when dealing with people, like men don't tend to do it. Like when it's each other, you just slap the other on the back and say, "Achcha chalo, kar lete." But to, you know, and I've always been in things which are very women dominated because I've been brought up by a working mother. My dad passed away when I was young, surrounded by aunts and one uncle. I studied sociology in college, which was 18 girls and 3 guys in one class. Then I did qualitative research, which is I've often been the only guy in the office. I practice Nichiren Buddhism now, which there are more women active members than men. So yeah, now I'm going to bring this towards the end, but I'm going to raise one question now, and where I think in the answer to that, I'm going to show some of the advantage which comes in when a woman is in charge of the business, and which is the strange situation which we find ourselves in. That of the COVID lockdown, which has really turned everything over, and you know, it's created a really dismal situation, and for many, like we are just facing the blank walls, and especially in the many in the hospitality industry, restaurants, hotels, everywhere, you know, the wind has gone out of people, and you're wondering like, is this the end of the road? So I want to know, how did Pinky Chandan Dixit and Som react to it when it was first announced, and where are you guys now? What are you planning? So maybe in a few minutes, if you can just describe what you guys are doing, because I think there's a lot to learn.
Kalyan, when we decided to shut down at the beginning of the lockdown, we had a staff strength of about 60. We had 25 living on property in staff rooms close to the restaurant. So I have 25 people on board. About 10
From outside
live
Mumbai, from outside
from
Mumbai.
outside,
So they're
migrant labor.
technically migrants.
Migrant labor. I have about 12 or 15 people who live in Mumbai and are not able to come to work, but they're technically here. And the rest that were due for leave over the next month or two, I'd asked them in March. I said, go home because there's no point in you being here, except for the ones that had just come back from leave and who didn't want to go. So we've been here for about 2 months. For the first month, we were kind of sort of reeling with the shock of what was happening. We just shut down, isolated, and they were cooking, looking after themselves, sort of taking care of everything. And the second month, I realized this has to stop, you know, because people were losing their patience. We decided to put some sort of a plan in motion where we decided to keep them busy. So between my husband and me, we decided to do news. out, and while talking to the boys, we said, let's start cooking at least because, you
Pinky,
know,
can
we
you
have to
repeat that
have.
last bit? You and your husband, because we lost you for half a second. You
Sorry.
and your husband decided to.
To sort of put them, to make them a little busy because we were all getting bored out of our minds and there was nothing to occupy us. Everybody's saying, can't sleep, we're not doing anything. All we've been doing is this, you
And
know,
they are
this
away
thing.
from home. And yes, away from their families. So they
And
must be
they
like
were.
terribly worried.
So we got out a couple of menus. I seen researched a few menus and we were looking at them. And then, you know, while showing it to the boys, one of my waiters who's Bengali said to me, Madam, ye to mera ghar ka khana hai, main kal bana sakta hai aapke liye. So I'm like, okay, I don't even have to do research. So I said, Ranjit, you're on the job. The second day, one of the
What did
Odisha
he
boys
make?
said
What
to
did he
me,
make? What did Ranjit make?
he made bengun bhaja, he made
Begun.
tandoori, he bengun bhaja, he made gugni. We did Radha Vallabhi, we did Cholar Dal, and we did the Paneer Patoli, and we
Paneer
did
patoli.
Paneer Patoli. We did, of course, vegetarian, sorry, but
No,
so we
but
did
I'm coming. No, but this is like a full Durga Puja sort of menu or a Krishna no, Jayanti menu.
And then as we got down to the second day of that trial, he said to me, we have another person who's willing to contribute to this. And I'm like, perfect. And it made me realize that, you know, everybody's missing their home food. And it's a
And
good idea to.
please call Ranjit the next time you meet him. He'll be so happy.
It
And my God, what a menu. So the next guy
was
was
very good. So the
the next
next
guy
day
did
was
what?
the next guy did an Orisa wala menu. And then
Odisha.
we had one Sindhi one which Asim sneaked in, and then we did one which was a UP menu which had those kachoris and aloo, and then that malai ka barfi and the parwal ki. We
Oh.
did a parwal ka halwa and a hari mirchi ka halwa, which was really strange, but it was fun, and
Desert,
it was
right? Meetha halwa.
yeah.
Sweet halwa, yeah.
Sweet halwa. And I was very surprised because hari mirchi ka halwa sunte bahut strange lagta hai, but banate it was not so bad. And there's a lot of drama to it. I'm not sure if you can eat a whole bowl. So, but it was interesting to try and nice to see everybody. Just like I took that, you know, when I made the gugni, I took it home and I have a my baby's nanny is a Bangla lady, and she said to me, if you make gugni, Didi, where is the poha with it? So I believe they eat it with kurmura in the part of
Well, there are
Bengal that
different
they
ways
come
of doing
from.
it. So you're right. So gugni is a street food dish to start with. So you put chopped onion and tomato on top of that, chilies. Now you can have it with thick slices of bread, the local bread, pound roti. But there are also a lot of people from the poorer classes of society who will, in a bowl, take kurmura bhel, which is muri, and
That's what
gugni
it
and
should
have
be,
it.
yeah.
Families like us would probably have it with either bread or the kachoris. The green pea kachoris, but with maida. So, but you're right. Now imagine if you do a ghugli with kurmura, it becomes so novel. So, Som the Gujarati restaurant is over. Is that the breaking news? Som the UP Bengali restaurant is coming up.
I think slowly, slowly we'll have to go towards, and we've tried to go towards a little regional
You did an
cooking with
Assamese
our.
festival also once, right, with Gitika.
Yes, we did in one with association with Geetika. We did a Kathiawadi one with Rushina because that was.
That's where I first went. That was my first interaction
Oh,
with Song.
we were doing a whole bunch of these little things and realizing this is working, that's not working, and more than working, I think it was just learning new things because as you get bored in the monotony of your everyday work, even your normal work tends to suffer. So I realize even at Soma, when we put out a new menu, which is every 3 or 4 weeks seasonally, like you know, there's a summer menu and there's a pakoda menu. There's just a little bit of novelty that comes into the kitchen. Boys also are very excited. There's just a spring in their step, and I think that is nice.
So coming back to the COVID, which is what we were talking, the current lockdown. So you're getting your boys to sort of take the ownership and try out menus that brought a bit of morale back into the room, would you say? That was a bit of a morale booster. And then this thing of, you know, getting back and opening the restaurant for deliveries. So what are the sort of preparations? What are the worries in your head? How did you face them?
So we my biggest worry, and I didn't do delivery for the last 2 months, is I'm wondering, I've got all of them living in these close quarters here, which is difficult enough. If I was to bring people from outside, I'd be exposing them. And now that I've realized that, it is there, it's going to stay with us for a while. We have to protect ourselves and stay safe and live with it for a bit. I had a lot of requests of people saying, "We are missing your food. Do something, start up, And while I was talking to the boys, I said, "We're going to have to start, but we're going to have to take a hell of a lot of precautions, because not only do I not want anybody to fall sick, I don't want anybody to even feel uncomfortable or unsafe. If you feel slightly that I'm not happy to work at this time, I'm okay with it. There's no reason why you should get into work." And a lot of the boys said to me, "We're good to work, we'll deal with it, and we'll stay with the protocol." So, like, everything was a learning experience. Went to Dawa Bazaar, bought all the sanitization things, all the sodium hypochlorite, the gear, the equipment, put a team in place so that only one or two people stand outside the restaurant to dispense food. They are also sanitized every couple of hours. We are watching, even the delivery aggregators have been fab. I mean, they come in, they spend least amount of time with the handling. They come in prepared with their orders, they sanitize, they check their temperature. I mean, we're doing everything that is physically possible, and realizing that, they're also doing a job, as difficult as it may be. We have to learn to respect and give them that much due, and live with what the current situation is today.
Thanks. That's really amazing, because I remember talking to you about this, and that's why I was very keen to talk about that. And first of all, like, our hopes and prayers are with you and everyone in the F&B industry in terms of what you're doing. So what I'm going to now do, you and I can keep talking, but I'm going to sum this up for people. And
Thank you.
folks, there have been a lot of comments. A lot of people, like Deepa, Manisha, a lot of people have been saying that they love Som, Sucharita. Not everyone might be on at this point again, but there was a lot of people who were saying that they're big fans of the Som food. But guys, if you have any specific questions for Pinky, please ask now, or otherwise, like, we might have to, because we lose these comments when we put it up. Real Anupama was saying that they serve good home kitchen food. Varnika of Delectable Reveries was saying, "So good to see you back." Saloni Vimal loves Som. Being a Gujarati, I was so happy to see no thali, and she got her entire family to eat there. My friend Rini Chatterjee, who's married to a Parsi like me, Chef Kaizad, so she's also saying that she misses Som. So what I got out of your story, Pinky, and which is why I was keen to talk to you at the beginning of this foodocracy for her series, and this is really the idea, that to sort of bring out the values of fortitude, empathy, drive, meticulousness, everything which women bring into the table, and to show stories like yours, which will encourage many out there. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And I want to say one last thing, Kay, is that, when we're starting this whole process, and I put it on my Facebook post today because it appealed to me, is that, we're all doing this as a new startup. It's a format that we're not used to. So if any